I would suggest we wait till 11 and we go to verse 11 down through 14 and talk about the till 11 o'clock. Moses's response. This is always a challenge for us when there's that which comes in that we know is wrong. How do we react to others that we know that are in a pathway that God can't honor? Many of us know by experience that we react perhaps with a hammer. We react with various ways other than the advocacy of Moses. Moses was on high. God had reminded Moses in verse 9, I have seen this people. And we have these beautiful verses in 11 to 14, how that Moses goes to God on the behalf of these people. That isn't natural in your heart and mind. It isn't natural to respond to somebody that way. It is only the Spirit of God dwelling in me that will lead me to intercede for somebody else. And so Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against not my people? He doesn't say they're my people. He reminds that one that was his friend, they are your people. They are thy people. And thou hast brought them forth out of the land of Egypt with great power. Tony reminded us of that. That scene, maybe John did, when God removed the wheels from the Egyptians' carts. I've always thought, what a phenomenal thing that God tells me about them coming through, chasing the Israelites, and he actually removes the wheels that were driving the carts. God, with a mighty arm, brought them forth, and he in grace reminds them, this is the history of this people. Others will help us develop this.
Just a quick thought on that. When we think of the people of Israel that were in Egypt, then the Lord looked down upon them, and he looked at them, and he saw them in grace. And when we think of our salvation, and we look, and we see, he sees us as those afflicted by sin, and he reaches down in grace to redeem. But now he doesn't call them that anymore. He calls them a stiff-necked people. Because now they're redeemed. But now there are people that are following in the steps of self-will, having replaced God, his rights, his word, his place in their midst with something else. They have become a stiff-necked people. That's how God describes them. And that's the challenge as we think of it for ourselves, where we put those things in place of the rights of God in our lives. When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, that ownership that he has over me as an individual, and then we take and replace that with other things, we are a stiff-necked people.
I'd just like to make a comment. We see that the people, they did not only commit idolatry, but they also stole the glory which belonged to God by claiming the right on of the work that God did for them. We see that at first they say that it was the work of a man, and then they say that he was dead, and then they build on a calf by the own work of their hands, and then they say this is the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. And what we see, something I would like to point out in verse 11 that's very nice, is that Moses, he returns this glory to God. He says, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt? So I see that's something like really beautiful that Moses did.
And another thing that we can learn from what Moses has done here, it's as well that God had the right to be angry with his people, Moses as well, he came down, and once he saw how far the people had fallen from God, he was very angry with them as well. But it's really great to see that even in this time, even as Moses had seen how far these people had fallen, he still went to God and he interceded for them, and he didn't by any means kind of play down what they had done and try to justify it in any way. He knew that what they did was wrong. but he went to God and he pleaded for the people. And I think that's something we can learn from, that we know that here we are as Christian brothers and sisters, and we know that we're gonna see faults in ourselves, but we're gonna see each other slip up as well. And while these things do happen, we should remember for sure not to just condemn. And it's very easy to look at the mistakes our brothers and sisters make and see what they do wrong and point it out. But I think it's a lot tougher, but definitely more right to take these problems to God and to come before Him and remember to always be in consistent prayer for one another.
You know, the purpose of the Old Testament is to point to the future coming Christ. And before I go into that, I just want to say it's easy to point and scoff at the failures and mistakes that those in the Old Testament and even the New Testament have made. But, you know, we were in the same boat as them. The Bible says, "For all of sin come short of the glory of God." And in these verses, in this passage right here, I see Moses as a type of Christ, one who interceded for his people, and certainly God had all right, because one of his attributes is that he's just and he's holy and he cannot let sin in his presence, and he had all right. They were supposed to die, but Moses interceded and said, "No, Lord," and eventually God repented of the evil that he was about to do. And in the next chapter we see, well, someone had to die, because someone had to die for their sin, someone had to die for our sin. And in the next chapter we see how burnt offerings were made. But how can we relate this? We know that we all sin and someone had to die in our stead. Someone who is holy and worthy and righteous had to die for our stead. And before we scoff at those Israelites, we look at ourselves and we were in the same boat, that someone had to die for us because God is just and he's holy and you know, he's also forgiving. He doesn't compromise the two, that if we come to him, he's willing to forgive us, because that the punishment, the condemnation has been laid on his son, and we can come to him freely.